The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed, it's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother, Me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
What's up, Trav Nation? I'm your middleest brother, Travis Big Dog Vroom Vroom McElroy.
Hey, what's up, Trav Nation? It's me, your sweet baby brother, 30 under 30, media luminary, Griffin McElroy. Jing, 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 just hear those sleigh bells ringling.
No,
ding,
it's
ding,
not
ding,
even
ding,
Halloween yet.
It's the
creep. We're on the creep.
It
on
is
the
when
creep.
This
it's
comes
started.
Out. Fucking Candle Night's Creep, baby, we're
yeah,
on
when
it.
This comes out, Trav. Think about it.
But our births haven't even happened yet. I almost said my birthday, Justin. Apologies. This is a Freudian
slip. No worries, brother.
We'll get
no
yours
worries.
In there, but it's going to slot into an open space in the Candle Nights Creek because I'm already putting my holiday plans together, boys.
We didn't.
Have you heard?
Have you heard?
Do you know news? Where? Do you know where you're?
The angel. What has the angel told you?
The angel came down from the big star, and he said, "What's your ass doing on December 11th?" I said, "You cuss." He said, "Fuck yeah, I cuss." About
I
this.
I can't sin.
He said, you know, Rowan Atkinson? I said, yeah. And the angel that came down from the big star was like, he is completing his circuit of the traditional conflict structures in classical literature.
Oh, he's going for the canon.
He's going for the whole thing. He's got man versus man.
Yeah.
Love, actually. Man versus nature.
Man versus
Johnny
self.
English. Man versus himself, Bean. Man versus society, Blackadder.
Man versus machine is Rat Race.
Rat
right?
Race.
Yeah, because that's a bunch of different.
Yes.
Yeah.
Man versus bee. Unlikely. Not a lot of people get hit that one. But
no, I think just Bee Movie and Man versus Bee.
Yeah, those are the only two.
If you know, Euripides or some of your great playwrights had done all the classics, they would have gotten to
if they had
man
lived longer.
Bee.
Life expectancy back then was like you were 15 years old and you beefed it. If you made it longer, they would have gotten to Man versus Bee. But now,
can I also just say, because invoked the name, I watched an explainer video of Bee Movie recently.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
makes me mad that we haven't talked about it more.
What are you talking
more,
about?
But like,
what are you talking
let
about?
Let me.
Bud? Are you immortal? An explainer video about the Bee Movie?
Yeah, man.
Mike's,
the way you
Mike's
spend your
Mike
time.
Makes some really good video content, and he did a whole thing about the Bee Movie.
Rowan has completed the canon with.
Okay, yeah, I'll focus up.
Man,
focus up.
Let me say it. The name. Man versus baby. Man versus baby. The last
man
one.
Man versus baby.
December 11th.
Now,
Netflix.
Just to be clear, Griffin, it's not. Man versus B-A-E-B-E-E, right? It's not his girlfriend, the bee.
I no. heard, so like, there's fucking nothing about this film out there
and
right
it comes
now.
Out in like 5 weeks.
It comes out quite soon, thank you, yes. I have heard, just from some like, you know, set side scuttlebutt, that at the end of the movie, the baby bursts open and it was actually 200 bees. That was like
oh,
pranking him in a
like Wicker Man, I haven't seen it.
Sort of a Wicker Man situation.
Now, the first one was a mini series, wasn't it?
This one is also a 4-part, 30-minute episode mini series. Just make it a 2-hour movie, guys.
Just give us a movie,
the
please.
Math
something I can put on my shelf.
Please.
I can't have a cinema premiere.
Where's the Criterion Collection, you know?
Yeah.
I can't rent the Cinemark at the Huntington Mall.
For
if it doesn't get a theatrical release, you know?
Do you
rent
think
it for
with
a Netflix special?
With the release date being in December,
yeah.
Do you think that there was a time where they thought about Man versus Baby Jesus?
So, here's the thing. There's nothing out about this movie. You can't find fucking anything. There's two pictures from the set.
They know what they know what
dirty dogs are going to fucking do with that information. We'll take it and run with it. They saw what we did.
Griffin, can I just say, actually, I don't think there is anyone that would make good use of a lot of information about Man versus Baby. I agree with you there that it is probably a smart play that, like, no one who wants a lot of that information about it is going to make good use of that
information. No, for sure. Only ill intent at heart.
Just us.
Just us, mostly. There's two photos. One, he's walking down the street holding the baby. One, he's sitting on a couch, and he's got his arms crossed, and he's feeding two babies. So, how many babies is it, Man versus Baby? Because if it's more
than one... One of the babies is on his side.
Okay.
Oh, he's teamed up. Whoever wins, we're cute.
One
I love
man,
it.
One man and a baby versus a different, meaner baby this
bigger
fall,
baby.
Winter, December. Boss baby. 11. Boss baby. He's
back. Oh, man versus boss baby?
We're watching it. There's no trailers out. There,
no.
There is a surplus of artificially inseminated trailers that have been created by robots and put on YouTube to trick everyone. This is this is what buoys my spirits in the wake of this tide of robots taking all of our jobs for real, though, this time, is that all the comments in all of these AI trailers are like, this is not my Trevor Bingley. This is AI slop. Trevor Bingley would fucking never.
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 He doesn't have that Trevor Bingley... joie de vivre.
You made his eyes all big and nightmarish. That's not my pleasant Trevor Bingley, well-intentioned house sitter.
Does he baby? So he probably babysits in this one. I want to see if we can reverse engineer.
Okay,
versus baby.
I saw one trailer that I think had some real information in it that said he was a school teacher this time around. How the I saw man versus bee. I don't want that. No.
Anyone who saw that.
That's also not baby related. Like, babies don't go to school.
Well, it's a school for babies. Just calm down.
The school board must have ruled man versus baby inadmissible.
It's a school for babies.
A daycare.
Yeah, he works at a daycare, and there's a nativity play, and no one comes to pick up the baby Jesus.
It is man versus baby Jesus.
Yes, and he takes him to house sit at a different house. I'm saying this out loud. This sounds also fake. There's no way the series is he's a daycare teacher and he takes home a baby no one picked up while he's house sitting a fancy house.
It's been 6 years since I had a baby.
Yeah.
Right? In the house.
You
I didn't have the baby.
Gotcha.
I didn't have
okay.
the baby.
You
I mean,
had a baby
since
around.
Since I had a baby present in the home.
Right.
I don't think parents take the baby to nativity practice and just say,
dip.
I'll be back in 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep good eye on this baby.
Why else am I letting them use the baby then if I'm not getting some free babysitting out of it?
Well, you can still watch your phone while you sit in the pew.
Yeah, because the answer to that, Justin, is on your drive back to the house to get in, you know, a good hour and 15 minutes of shitting and gaming and all that stuff. Yeah. You could die in a car accident on the way back, and then Mr. Bean's going to have your baby in a stranger's house for the holidays. Merry Christmas. It's man versus
baby.
And
you
baby.
Know it's not baby-proofed?
You know the house isn't baby-proof? He certainly isn't. Can't handle a bee? Do you have any idea how much more shit a human child is going to rain down on you than a little tiny boops? Done.
Literally.
I think
you don't got diapers in that house.
No way.
I think the next one they do should be Man versus It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, wow.
And Clarence visits him. Yeah. And he's like, it would be better if I was never born. I keep versing everybody.
Yeah. I'm so tired from versing everyone all the time.
Once word got out that I was the man to verse, people are calling me out on the street.
And then, like, Clarence shows up, and he takes them to this hellscape that's just covered in bees.
Yeah.
It's just a planet of bees.
Yeah. He's the one
in B-movie.
Like in B-movie, Trav, I guess. I didn't watch the explainer, so I might have missed some of the
context. Bees sue humanity.
Yeah. Hey, did you guys catch the trailer for Man versus Kramer versus Kramer? It looks like it's going to be. It looks like versus Man versus Kramer versus Predator. It's a fucking really, really good idea for a movie.
Man versus Kramer versus Wild versus Predator.
Yes.
Bear Grylls.
Yes.
is on our side.
Is
but
he?
He's a baby. He's a baby. He's baby, a
baby
bear.
Baby Bear Grylls.
Baby Bear Grylls.
Cub Grylls.
Yeah.
Cub Grylls is a baby.
He got dropped off at wilderness camp and never picked up. And so Trevor Bingley, Rowan Atkinson, has to take care of him. But the homies taking care of him, it's a married couple who are going through a hard time. Kramer versus Kramer. Oh,
okay.
Kramer versus Kramer. Yeah. And then we'll get bees in there too, of course.
And Predator.
Not gonna do it. And we'll save bees for the last episode. Like, at end of episode 3, he finally got the baby to sleep. And he's like, oh, finally time to relax. What's that he hears? Ding dong, checks the nest cam. Nothing there.
It's Santa.
It's no. Ding dong.
Dang it.
And he's like, oh, nothing's there. All right, back to my nap. And he puts his phone down. And the camera zooms in on the phone where you didn't see anything before. And a single bee climbs over the camera lens. And everyone at home is like, oh, shit. He's here, the bee. And the bee's
then
back.
And Predator then shows up hunting the bee.
Yes. Yes. And then Santa. Go ahead, Juice. Get Santa in there.
And then Santa. I mean, it's like, if you guys put Santa in it, that's the thumbnail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, then every Christmas.
Yeah.
And returning. The fun thing is, if we have Cub Grylls the baby.
Yeah.
Trevor Bingley.
Yeah.
Predator. Bee. Yeah. Santa. Kramer. And Kramer.
Yeah. We can pick one.
We can match up, mix and match who's teaming up versus who in there.
Yeah.
Because I'd love to see Santa and Predator team up against the bee.
Yeah.
That's where I think my fan fiction's at.
Of the Kramers, I think I'd go with Meryl Streep in our picture. Over Dusty Hoff and
and Michael Ritchie.
Yeah.
Michael Ritchieson.
Yeah, so we'll get
Mikey Ritchie.
Meryl got out of that one good, so we'll get her and the bee and the Predator.
Near the end, Freddy.
Freddy get up in it, too.
Freddy, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Freddy's all right.
But actually, and Travis, did you hear it? You sealed the joke. I heard it like, there can't be anything else on top. Did you hear it? It
was like, listen, real close.
The perfect kind of like salt bay you did on there. And then it was like, everybody take a step back from it. That's really good
shit. It's so rare that we recognize that in the moment. Yeah. You know what I mean? Normally we have to see it in the rear view. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But this
it's just nice to know that I was there to do the seal or, as one might say, killing blow.
No, it's still a living document. This show is a living, it's in the Library of Congress.
Hey.
Wow.
In the bathroom. I keep leaving USB drives of our show in the Library of Congress bathroom.
Yeah, sealed in a Ziploc baggie in the tank.
Yep.
I have been seeing the psychiatrist for a while. Hey, congratulations. Oh, for my anxiety disorder. Sorry, I should have finished the whole
thing. Either way, congratulations.
I mean, congratulations either
mental
way.
Mental health is important.
It's been pretty helpful. She's also really cool and recently suggested that I watch horror movies, going so far as to recommend me a few of her favorites. I've now watched 30-odd movies, and the issue is I don't really like the one she's told me to watch. 30?
That's a lot of fucking movies, dude.
Man, if somebody recommends me something, they got about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
If they whiffed it, they've whiffed it for good, man. I found them super boring with okay scares, but a baffling plot. Is there a way I can let her know about this without turning her against me? Or do I have to lie to my psychiatrist? My next appointment is on Halloween. Please help. That's from Madden by Mediocre Movies. I personally would caution you against lying, because I think your psychiatrist needs to know exactly how twisted you are.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Your psychiatrist, if they're going to get up there in the dark cobwebs and like dig around in the annals of your brain, they got to know that like Art the Clown's up there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like all the bad guy.
There's
all the bad ones.
There's
both Freddy's.
There's there's four people on this earth that I want to know what scares me, and my therapist would be one of them, because it would be helpful in some of our work.
I would also say the person most likely to know you are lying.
Yeah. Now,
because they've studied your psyche.
Yeah, they know you inside and out. It is an impressive feat to recommend someone 30 movies that they don't like.
30? You're gonna get one just out of
one or two's gonna hit.
30 is so many.
So many movies to watch you don't like. And it's like, if someone recommends me two movies I don't like, I've stopped taking recommendations from that person.
I don't think I've watched 30 movies this year.
Yeah, no, no way.
I would also find it concerning if my therapist, who ostensibly has studied my psyche, attempting to understand my brain, then went, I know 30 movies you'll love.
Distressing, for sure. Absolutely.
Maybe the thing is, the your psychiatrist is actually, like, kind of out of their depth. Because, like, once they see the – once they kind of see the kind of sick and twisted shit that you get off on, maybe they would be – messed up too, you know what I mean?
Like, sure.
You've been watching all this crazy, scary stuff.
Yeah,
the psychiatrist can't help you because you watch. Didn't you listen?
Yeah,
don't watch that stuff. That's evil.
It'll make evil bad. It'll
make
stuff,
your brain
dude.
Bad.
I'm trying to walk you back.
Trying to fix you. Yeah, I know. Watch these boring movies. You sick fuck.
I'm trying to detox your twisting mind.
Trying to resensitize you, freak.
I do think
like insatiate your bloodlust. No kidding.
Yeah,
that was just a bunch of Faces of Death movies.
You're getting VHSs mailed to you in unmarked packages, man.
That's direct feed of executions from prisons. You're a terrible person.
I think it's wild to me. Maybe I just have a different flavor of anxiety.
Yeah,
but the idea that my therapist would be like, "Hey, I know you're in here for worrying too much and getting too much tension and being too freaked out by things. Anyway, here's 30 scary movies you should watch."
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Those expurgation of pity and fear. It's one of the great uses of drama. I get that, but it's just you got to get your rocks off, though, if it's going to work. You know, you got to get your
grills
in.
They probably didn't include this, but I assume the therapist told them to, like, listen to Yakety Sax while they were watching
movies. Oh, yeah, good.
There's, like, this whole theory, you know, in acceptance and commitment therapy where it's just, like, take it and twist it and turn it. If you have something fucked up in your brain, like, turn it around and look at it a different way. And so playing, like, Yakety Sax over... I don't know, some trauma flick, it changes it. It takes the teeth off of it. It makes you brave.
Guys, I've got it.
Mm.
They don't specify the anxiety disorder, but if it's related to social anxiety, this is a test.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, they gave you movies they knew you wouldn't like.
Mm-hmm. Why do all the great...
To see if you can say it wasn't good to
their
face.
I didn't like that.
Why do all the great therapists have to use so many tricks?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All the great therapists are so focused on different tricks and puzzles and ways they can catch you up.
Well,
did
you watch King's Speech? When fucking Jeffrey Rush is bullying the king to get him to stop stuttering or whatever. I didn't watch it, but I've seen the clip. And he's like yelling, and he's poking him in the eye or something.
Yeah, fucking Goodwill.
He's like, "Fuck, man, stop poking me in the eye." And he's like, "Didn't stutter, did you?"
Goodwill Hunting, when he's like, "It's not your fault, kid." And then he starts to cry. And when he gets close, Robin Williams farts on his hand and puts it close to his face.
Yeah, man. Classic.
What are we teaching here?
Math? I think that's what they're teaching in Goodwill Hunting.
They do teach a lot of math at Goodwill
Hunting. A lot of
math. Every time you go back and watch that movie, you forget about all the math in it, huh?
No, really, you do learn something new.
They Trojan horse it, and they're good. Yeah, man.
How many apples do I have? Do you like these apples or these apples?
You need to walk in confidently and say, I've solved your puzzle. I fucking hated those shitty movies. And you are a bad person for recommending all of them to... Because Travis is right. They want to make sure you can stand up.
I don't think Travis is right.
You have to stand up for yourself.
Huh.
30 bad movie recommendations. That's crazy.
If you frame it as, I've solved your test, you gave me these movies because you knew I wouldn't like them, and see if I have the confidence to tell you. You've also now given them the out to say, that's exactly what it was.
That's it. That's it.
Now, what if the therapist is like, okay, I'm hearing your feedback, Jeremy, but please, how many did you watch? Just tell me, how many? Not 30. No, God damn it.
Wow.
Have you not been listening to anything? You watched 30 movies? What are we doing in here, Jeremy?
I recommended those a week ago.
You told me your people pleasing was under control. You watched 30 bad movies. You swore to me. You said it was getting better. 30?
You watched one of them twice?
What was
just to see if you missed something?
One of them was that Woobles movie with Cary Elwes in it. What's wrong with you? This is 30. This is just 30 Burger King commercials I looped together to make an 80-minute movie. Of course it was boring. God.
Justin, we got to talk
to... How did you find a director's cut of the Burger King loop movie?
Justin, we got to talk about this crazy fucking lumpy ass gourd you got going on behind you.
It's a beautiful gourd.
It's
a biblically accurate gourd.
It's an octopus monster that got all dried up by science.
Let me go into the field of view. Hold on.
Bring him in. Look. Beauty blog that nasty fucking gourd,
Cooper,
dude.
Got this cat for me at Floyd's.
That's crazy, man.
I thought it was some ears of corn you had glued together in a
No,
weird,
man, that's a yeah, single no. vegetable or fruit.
It's this. I don't know if this... Either these sometimes look like a banana sometimes,
yeah.
Or this is one of the most important and powerful gourds yeah. ever on the internet.
It's an agricultural.
I don't know.
Yeah.
This is either... a huge viral thing that everybody's wild about, and you're yeah. seeing this everywhere on your FYP,
yeah.
or this is a nothing burger. And yeah. I still appreciate it, because my daughter thought of me when she got this for me.
My daughter's never gotten me a gourd my whole life.
Listeners at home, it looks kind of like a small pumpkin that a big, fat scorpion climbed on top of, and then, like, kind of gooshed all over.
It kind of looks like a banana.
Like a yeah, banana that peeled. Someone fucked into a tiny pumpkin, and then they got banana lumps everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Get it close to the camera. I know that you're not used to this wide angle, but get it up on get.
I'm
give
so
it
glad
to me.
We're a video forward podcast now.
I don't know how long it'll last. I was thinking
forever.
About if should I lacquer it?
Yeah.
I mean, I could lacquer it, right?
Lacquer that, Gordon.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
Eat it?
I'm not gonna get up from my chair, so that's the best I can get.
Yeah, you're just holding that gourd for the rest of the recording. Nope.
Recording.
Yeah. Bazinga.
All right. You guys want another question?
Please.
Yes.
All right. Good. Allow me. My wife came home yesterday and said that her work Slack channel posted a reminder to all the staff to bring back any forks they may have accidentally taken home with them. She said she thought it was weird that anyone would take all the forks with them. I had to tell her that she was, in fact, the fork thief and that I had been noticing them show up in her lunch bags that she was bringing home with her. I've been washing them and putting them away with the rest of our dishes, not thinking much about it. Brothers, we've collected over a dozen forks now, and we're not sure how to get them back into the office without anyone noticing. How do we return them? That's from Fork Thief asking for forgiveness in Frederick.
I feel like I can walk through the mind of this individual and look at the series of small, hidden choices they were making to themselves of whether or not to confront their loved one about this fork-stealing behavior and saying, no, I will accommodate it, and I will, in fact, be complicit in it.
Yeah? You're fencing it. He was fencing the forks.
You're laundering the forks. Absolutely, you are.
I mean, literally. I mean, you're putting them in a machine, and then they come out yours? I don't think so. I guess I'm learning most people are a lot less particular about their silverware than I am, because if I put one of a fork in my mouth that isn't one of my normal shoulders, I'm going to absolutely not be having a good time.
Dude.
I'm pretty particular about those. See, I like a number of tines. I like some tight tine spacing. I like a good hand feel. If somebody's bringing in some scrowdy rowel fork from Nowheresburg, Sharp got three for a dollar at the Dollar General, no thank you.
Yeah.
No thank
true.
You. Take
That's
that back
true
to work,
for me
Vicky.
Aesthetically, Justin.
What?
You've been putting these away in the drawer with your other forks. When you open that drawer and you look into the fork slot and you see these weird, don't fit the shape, don't stack right.
Tell me the slots that you guys have. What are the slots
big
in
fork,
your silver?
Little fork, big spoon, little spoon, butter knife.
Travis, and that's fucking amazing.
Random.
That's good.
And dude. Then random slot with like some reusable straws and some chopsticks and et cetera.
I think you can measure how much you've given up by how you sort the silverware drawer. And at the bottom of the list is probably just like big old bucket, you throw it all in. But I think I'm probably close to the bottom of the list because we do butter knife, but some steak action will slide in there from time to time.
Oh, no, Griffin.
Big spoon, little spoon in the same drawer. Big fork, little fork in the same drawer. And then one for straws, chopsticks, etc.
Okay, first of all, piece by piece here, Griffin.
Yeah.
You put the steak knives in with the butter knives? Oh, Justin's camera got too hot from the thing you said.
What does that happen now? It's fucking insane. It's fucking crazy.
It's not that wild. It's a camera, and it gets hot because it's been on for a while, and then it turns off. Every time you act like it's like Cletus the slack-jawed yokel, it's just a warm camera, Griffin. You got to calm
Justin,
down,
Justin, could you at least turn your camera feed on so I'm not looking at color boys?
No. Okay. Not without standing up, I can't.
Griffin, you put the steak knife in with the butter knife. What happens when you reach in to get a butter knife and some slicey action happens?
How much fucking... First of all, they all go in kind of like blade first, ass up, blade down. That's the way we stack our silverware. I'm not going to fucking toss them
so
in there like
that. So you reach in to grab a butter knife, you come away with a steak knife, and then you have to put that down and pick up a butter knife. Now you've had two trips.
I mean, all my steak knives have, you know, this fine elk bone
if
handles.
I don't get the thing I want right out of the drawer, I'm so bothered.
I can, and but I know what the difference is. I can tell by just the touch of it, of what is a butter knife and what is a steak knife. I don't need to have
why are you touching the knife? Like, think about it, though. That's dangerous.
To get it
Thank
and
you.
Use it. What are you talking
it's
about?
Dangerous. What if you poke your finger?
How small is your sweater?
You guys genuinely do sound a little bit like my mother-in-law right now, who does, every time I'm in the kitchen, usually during Thanksgiving, cutting something, saying, ooh, careful, that knife looks... And it is true that the first time that they came over Thanksgiving, I cut my finger so badly. I cut it so, so badly. And so I haven't established a great track record. But I'm good with knives, generally speaking. I'm not going to cut myself reaching into the butter knife
when
drawer.
You mix your spoons, let's get to spoons, Griffin. The bowl depth and size
I feel the
is
same way,
different.
But...
Yeah. But
yeah,
like...
I look at it. Here's what I do. I look down in the drawer, and I look at the spoons. I say, there's a small one. I would like that for cereal.
But they don't stack correctly.
But they don't stack correctly, but it does beg the question, Griffin. If you are already doing this, if you're looking at spoons and deciding which spoon you want, why don't you just pile the spoons and the forks together then?
Well, because, damn, you're right. I'm no better.
You're not. You're an animal.
We live in a society.
That's fine, Griffin. You got to claw back out. All right? I got you.
Maybe today try separating them and just take a moment to appreciate the step you've taken.
Is it okay to put chopsticks and straws together?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. I put a big bag of chopsticks, straws, popsicle molds, trash, you know.
Yeah.
It also helps, Griffin, if the chopsticks can fit into one of the straws, that you can shoot it like a blow dart into some foam.
That's actually really important.
The government should pay for you to move back into your own house every year. Because I bet I would do so much of a better job this time, like knowing where shit should go.
Because you've lived there for a while.
Because I've lived there for like a long time.
You get mad at yourself all the time, like, why did you do this?
Moving sucks and it's so expensive, but if the government paid for me to do it once... Now that I'm good at it, I'd kick ass.
And the government loves paying for stuff right now.
Well, no.
They're paying for everything.
Okay. Travis, you have to get political, and it's like...
Yeah.
Like, I know they're not going to do it. It's obviously a fancy dreamland. Like, we say a lot of bullshit on this show. Like, Rowan Atkinson is starring in a 4-part miniseries sequel to Man vs. Bee called Man vs. Baby. Like, we make shit up on this show, like, all the time. And we play with it. We play
with
it.
We do?
Yeah.
Everything I've ever said on this show is 100% true.
Perfect. That's great. Good news. That's great.
Just to balance it out.
Let's take a break.
It's better with you. You know how normally Sundays are for humans?
Yeah.
Not anymore. Now, they've come out with a brand new product, Sundays for dogs.
This is
I'm looking here and I'm looking at the bag of food they sent me. It's dog food. It's not a day of the week. It's dog food.
Sundays for Dogs is still a kick-ass, like, really strong name. I would be honored to have that on the face of a product that I had created.
I did break down weekends for my kids that Saturdays are dadder days, which is like, could mean I have things I need to take care of, like organizing the garage or whatever. Or it could be like, hey, you're going to hang out with dad today. And then Sundays are fun days where we usually go somewhere to, you know, like a museum. Or
Fridays for the freaks.
We're either they'll have fun or they'll stay quiet while you have fun.
Exactly.
Yep, mixes and matches. It's a beautiful system.
Like, gotta move that now, though, because Sundays for dogs.
Yes, Sundays for dogs. You know, normally you can either have fresh or healthy. With Sundays for dogs, you have fresh and healthy. They sent us a bag. And one, I'll tell you this, both of my pups, they got sensitive tum-tums. But yeah, we've been using Sundays for dogs as treats for Lily, our big old dog. And she yummies that shit up. She loves it. She's finally listening to me for the first time ever.
She finally likes Travis. It's amazing.
She likes me. Sundays is fresh, air-dried dog food made from great ingredients. The recipes are customized based on the needs of your dog, its size, breeds, allergies, activity levels, and more. You don't need to thaw it. There's a lot of dog foods now that, like, you find in the refrigerator at the pet store, or it comes, like, frozen. You don't got to do that. And you can make the switch to Sundays by right now going to sundaysfordogs.com/mybrother to get 50% off your first order. Or you can use code mybrother at checkout. That's 50% off your first order at sundaysfordogs.com/mybrother. sundaysfordogs.com/mybrother. Or use code mybrother at checkout. Woof, woof, big dog approved.
Griff and Andrew McElroy.
All right.
My name is Peter Riddles. I'm an agent to the stars. I know you've fallen on hard times, and I got good news for you.
Which hard times?
I didn't know that.
I know you've fallen on hard times, Griffin.
Which kind of hard times? I've fallen on a few different types of hard times.
Struggling to pick up work lately. His brothers can't carry his coattails anymore. It's sad, Travis. He's reduced. He actually wrote a book, if you can believe it. It's getting pretty sad.
A book? Was it like a novel?
He had to
write a book.
He had to write a book. But listen, I'm going to turn things around for you, baby, because I've been learning the web. And I'm going to be charging you an absolute premium to make a website for you, because I've taken the time to make myself into an expert, Griffin.
Yeah.
So for a very reasonable
fee. What was your name
again,
Agent Man?
Peter Squarespace is my name.
Are you sure that's the name you said at the start?
Said Peter Reynolds.
Reynolds? With an M?
Which one is it?
Not Reynolds.
No. Obviously not Reynolds.
Certainly not Reynolds.
Yeah. So what did you need me to do, Pete?
I'm making your website, baby. And yeah, you gotta pay me a bunch of money because I got a big team of experts and they can let you do whatever you want with a website, Griffin. Mm-hmm. You're gonna have to pay me a huge premium because our websites that we build, they can do anything. You can sell stuff with these. You can
post your photos.
Can I talk to you over here real quick?
Yeah, keep going, Pete.
You're going to miss out on the deal.
Okay.
What's up, Trent?
Griffin, I think that this Reynolds guy is maybe trying to take you to the cleaners because you can do all that with Squarespace. You don't need Reynolds.
He did say his name was Peter Squarespace.
Wait. I don't want to interrupt, but we got world-class designers. Hold on.
That was crazy.
Getting a call from another client?
Sorry, I got another guy coming in. Hold on.
Really? That's your ringtone for
Squarespace?
No,
Griffin's dragging his feet. I don't know. Maybe I'll have room for you because Griffin's dragging his
Sydney.
Feet.
I know for sure that's Sydney.
Do what? Just because the ringtone is On the Wings of Love? That's got to be my wife? You're ridiculous.
You're married to Sydney, too?
Uh-oh.
Peter Reynolds and Justin McElroy are both
married
to Sydney?
The sequel to Sydney.
Yeah. So
listen, I have world-class designers that have made templates for me only, and I can let you use them for an exorbitant fee.
Okay.
Go ahead with what you're saying. Sorry.
First of all, the book that I'm writing is The Stowaway. I've written it. It's coming out next year. You can pre-order it at bit.ly/Griffin Stowaway. Really excited for that. It's a choose your own adventure experience. Penguin.
This is why you're never going anywhere.
Yeah, Penguin Random House made the website for that one. Did not have the opportunity to whip one up. But if I did, Mr. Reynolds, I would use Squarespace and not whatever bogus bullshit you're trying to sling my fucking way, dude. I've got you dead to rights in my sights, and I know that it's not right what you're doing.
So don't fall for Peter Reynolds' predatory practices. Instead, head to squarespace.com/mybrother for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use offer code MYBROTHER to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Hey, Alexis.
Hey, Ella.
What animal has the most teeth?
I would guess a shark.
A snail.
No, snails don't have teeth.
They have thousands, and they are freaky looking.
No, I don't want that to be true. Okay. Did you know that the hippocampus in your brain is named after the half-horse, half-fish sea creature found in Greek mythology?
I didn't know that, but we're meant to be doing animal trivia, and hippocampus isn't a real animal.
Well, that doesn't matter on Comfort Creatures.
You're right, it doesn't matter at all.
Comfort Creatures is a cozy show for lovers of animals of all shapes and sizes, real and unreal.
If that sounds like your cup of tea, then join us every Thursday for new episodes on MaximumFun.org.
Are you a celebrity? Are you searching for meaning, connection, and a little levity these days? Hi, I'm Kumail Nanjiani, actor, writer, and yes, a celebrity too. And I've got four words for you. Bullseye with Jesse Thorne. Are you tired of junkets, red carpets, sick of the endless spicy snacks you have to eat? Do you want to connect with someone who gets your work and laugh with you a little? Join me, Andre 3000, Tom Hanks, Tina Fey, and many more and become a guest on Bullseye with Jesse Thorne from NPR and Maximum Fun.
I never know if Justin's waiting for one of us to talk, so you can interrupt it with a bit.
Yeah, no.
And what? So, like, no. Sometimes I just need, like, to do a gentle...
All right.
Yes.
So low.
I want a munch!
Squad.
I want you munch!
Squad.
Welcome to Munch Squad. It's a podcast of the podcast profiling the latest, greatest, and brand of eating. And finally, someone's doing something about Elf. Guys.
About Elf?
Scooter's Coffee, this is a first
That's
press
That's not a real place.
This is a first press release I've ever had that is also a venture.
Cool.
So I want you guys to experience.
Is there anything we should know to be ready for the adventure?
Just imagine it in your mind's eye, I guess, to experience the adventure.
Okay. Press your own adventure.
At Scooter's Coffee, smiling is our favorite. Scooter's Coffee is partnered with those wizards over at Warner Brothers Discovery Global Consumer Products.
It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that sentence.
What?
The wizards.
No, I added wizards, but it does say has partnered with Warner Brothers Discovery Global Consumer Products.
Man,
a GloboChem Corp.
Yeah. Fuck, man.
Happy holidays from GloboChem. To bring out smiles and holiday cheer to coffee drive-thrus far and near. The holiday menu at Scooter's Coffee is filled with magic and sweet surprises inspired by New Line Cinema's film. Elf.
Which is at least 15 years old.
Which is at least 600,000 years old.
Throughout the holiday season, you got drinks and food items that feature maple, peppermint, and cherry flavors. That's inspired by the holiday classic film. Each drink comes with served in a cup, featuring, guys, designs inspired by Buddy the Elf and Jovi's North Pole looks. And there's a sticker. Featuring a friendly face for the North Pole.
Can you give me the original take on that?
It's a sticker. It's a sticker with a friendly face for the North Pole. Yeah. Now, they don't go so far as to say it's Santa, but I'll be fucked if it's not Santa.
It's trademarked.
It's a sticker, but they can't say sticker, a Santa sticker.
Collect them all. Collect all the wheel fingers. Get out there with the
Many stores will also feature holiday lighting and decor inspired by Buddy the Elf's journey to New York City to find his father.
Shit, yeah. Father would be better.
It
would be
better. First of all, cherry? Second, I love that they put in the press release, check this, folks. We're doing something new and different this holiday season. Our store, holiday decorations.
Trees and shit, garland.
We're
going to
have lights.
I really like the version of this journey where the sea serpent that greets Buddy is played by in the TV animated special. I don't know if you guys know this, but the sea serpent that says goodbye to Buddy is voiced by one Matt Lauer, a real black mark on an otherwise pristine,
delightful film. Yeah,
a monster playing a monster, fantastic. Hey, the Candy Cane Forest Mocha. Hotter Ice Blended features our world-class espresso combined with decadent mocha and peppermint flavors, a mocha drizzle, and topped with whipped cream, more mocha drizzle, and peppermint chips.
Wait, more mocha drizzle? Too much mocha drizzle.
That's a lot of
That's
mocha
a
drizzle.
Mocha storm.
Why do I need two strati of mocha drizzle?
No matter which peppermint option you choose, we're bringing the Candy Cane Forest to you. Now, we're going to go through the sea of swirly twirly gumdrops. sure. and have a swirly, twirly sugar cookie latte. That's hot, iced, or blended.
Well, now, hold on.
Yeah.
A sugar cookie is not a gumdrop. Not
even close to a gumdrop.
Yeah, dude. Yeah,
they're two wildly different sweet like universes.
How everybody hates gumdrops.
Yes.
And they're all busted down flavors.
They're so good if you want to build with them in toothpicks.
That is good. That's the only reason they keep making them. That's the reason only Michael's sells gumdrops, because they're only for crafts.
Have we talked about, it feels like this sounds like the kind of thing we've definitely talked about before, but is there a gingerbread house eating contest that happens after the gingerbread house, like, creation contest? Because I would love to see someone try to pound down more than, like, a half dozen gumdrops.
You know what happens to the gingerbread houses that Disney World makes, right?
What?
They become houses for bees!
I guess, yeah, man. I guess
what they do is they take them out and they become houses for bees.
Okay, you can't just say they become houses for bees. That is nature reclaiming.
I don't know how much clearer Griffin can say it.
Here's what I'm saying. They chuck them out there.
Where?
Alligators, where the alligators and mosquitoes are. They chuck them out there.
Yeah.
And then they bring a bunch of bees and they say, fucking go for it. We got a new queen here and she loves this gingerbread house and this is her gingerbread castle. And
yeah.
Maybe we'll name her Anna and glue a little wig to her or whatever. But here's the point is, you guys live in this fucking house now. Eat it up.
That sucks for them, man. That's a bad...
Are you kidding? It sounds pretty fucking good.
It sounds pretty fucking good, except it's like, oh, guys, it's wintertime and our house is going to happen. We eat it all because it's sweet candy and cookies.
It's wintertime in Florida and California, Griffin. Don't get on your high horse.
Yeah, it's what, 60? 60 in the afternoon? Come on.
Also, I want to say, here's my pitch for a gingerbread house eating competition. It's not how much or how fast. It is, in fact, how long do you think you can wait and then still be able to consume...
Driest.
Yeah. So it's
driest,
like,
hardest.
I'm going to wait. But if you wait too long, and then you go to eat it, and you're like, actually, this is no longer consumable, you're disqualified.
Yeah. I have to imagine that they make space for, like, the big gulp full of water that they just dunk them all in, get it soft and gullible, like they do in the hot dog one.
It would be different categories.
Yeah.
Right? There would be with liquid, without.
With toothpicks, without.
Yeah.
Toothpicks is...
Get them down.
Chomp them down. It's faster to eat the toothpicks, definitely.
Yeah, it is. You got to get... It's a few extra chews.
Yep.
Okay, so now... And finally, we got treats inspired by Buddy the Elf. You did it. Congratulations. You made the whole journey through the press release.
Now celebrate they're elf-flavored.
Celebrate your holiday season victories with maple-infused options that don't skimp on the syrup. The Buddy the Elf Maple Caramelicious... Hot, iced, or blended features our signature drink. I'm assuming they mean coffee.
Yeah.
But we put an elf-inspired new spin on the classic. Creamy caramel meets maple and rich espresso before
creamy
being topped
caramel?
With whipped cream. Creamy caramel meets maple.
Creamy and caramel is the woman who puts the whipped cream on all of the drinks.
Yeah.
That's true. She hates it when you call her that.
It's Where's perfect. The cream on my thing? Creamy caramel is had a death in the family. Creamy caramel is...
And none of us are trained on it.
Creamy caramel is on sabbatical. It's rough, man. I do not know what to say to her.
Perfect for making snow angels, the Buddy the Elf Maple Chai gives your favorite spiced chai an elf upgrade with warm notes of golden maple syrup.
How is it perfect for making snow angels?
You dump it on the ground.
Dump it on the ground in the shape of the angel.
It's perfect for making snow angels because you need a, after you've gotten in, down there with Jovi and made the beautiful snow angels, then you need a warm up.
Yeah.
Before you go find your dad, James Caan.
I love you, Dad.
He's
James
on the
Caan.
Naughty list.
Yeah, he is.
Don't have as much of a sweet tooth as Buddy the Elf? Try our Son of a Nutcracker brewed coffee, a special limited brewed coffee featuring notes of dark chocolate, roasted nuts, and warm brown sugary bread. It's all based on a movie that's older than your kid's kindergarten teacher. Believe it or not. Amazing.
Great flick. This is one of the more comprehensive brand partnerships, I think.
Dude,
we're not even done.
Welcome to the... We're filled with holiday cheer. There's plenty more to cheer about with our Cheery Cheer Sparkling Float. Tart, cherry, and vanilla flavors mixed with sparkling soda and creamy, snowy vanilla float topping and whipped cream for a carbonated cup of cheery cheer. This one's trying to fuck with me. I'm not great of a reader, but this one is trying to make problems for me intentionally, which is rude.
How big's their menu that they can slot in two dozen
snowball
elf-
fight cake bite with a okay. delicious bite of vanilla cake goodness with creamy blue filling surrounded by white chocolate and topped with? They're now getting into like deep cut elf references that only the real elf heads.
Yeah,
only the real elfies remember this.
Yeah,
there's exclusive co-branded elf Scooters coffee merchandise. That's how I'm saying, or no, sorry, we're pronouncing those, right? Is that what we settle on?
That is, okay. Yeah.
There's co-branded Elf Scooter coffee merchandise. Makes for a sweet holiday gift. Available in stores and online. Our Son of a Nutcracker tumbler, a stainless steel 32-ounce insulated tumbler. Finally, folks, a cup with Elf on it.
Yeah.
I think we finally did it, guys. A coffee mug with Elf.
They've like tripled the size of their core menu.
Additional merchandise is available at scooterscoffee.com, including a Son of a Nutcracker blanket featuring the same design.
Did they just get rights to the one saying, the one quote?
Yeah.
What did you guys have left over that we could just troll for? So that is an exciting partnership. I'm excited to get over to Scooters. Never been to one. Can't imagine I'll go now. Too much elf stuff.
Too
so
much overwhelmed. You would have elf
to
stuff.
Say the name of these things out loud to order them.
Yeah. Can't do it. Won't do it.
I'll do it like I do it at like a restaurant where I don't know how to pronounce some of the menu items, or I'll be like, I will have the stew. And they'll know what I mean when I say
this
like,
one? I have this one, please?
May I have the cherry beverage, and
how many does that cost?
You want me to say Son of a Nutcracker? You have a knife in your hand. You're saying say Son of a Nutcracker.
Out loud, okay.
You said say Son of a Nutcracker or I can't finish? You said that to me, a customer at your coffee shop?
God, this place is a drive-thru. I wouldn't want to stay here for very long.
Thanks.
On the first day of class, our TA told us not to raise our hands, but simply to speak up when we had something to share. For context, I'm in grad school and there are about 20 people in the class. I respect the TA and want to follow that request, but I keep forgetting and raising my hand anyway. To say this bothers her would be an understatement. She is clearly annoyed and has even begun to threaten docking grades. I've started to realize what I'm doing partway through raising my hand and try to pass it off as running my hand through my hair or stretching.
Awesome.
I could only do this so many times before it looks suspicious. The other day, I tried to pass off raising my hand as pretending to shoot basketball, and it didn't go over well. Brothers, what are some other convincing ways that I can pretend I am not raising my hand? That's from Teacher's Pest in Tennessee.
Stretch.
No, they already said stretching.
I mean, they did cover that. Now say, pretend to shoot basketball.
Pretend to shoot a basketball. Big one
did
in
it.
The hoop.
Oh, there he did it.
Damn. Pretend like you're raising an antenna to get better reception on your invisible ham radio.
Yeah. That's good. Pretend to grab a bug.
Oh, pretend that's a good bug. One.
Oh, that's a good one if you just like snap it out of the air and then
maybe
body odor check.
Write a fun phrase on the palm of your hand.
Yeah.
They'll think you're cheating.
No. So then when you raise your hand, they see and it just says like, hi, TA.
They'll kill you.
Trez is a good idea. Waving. Hi.
I'm not. Don't call on me. I don't have shit.
And give them a thumbs up. Let them know they're doing a good job.
Just glad to see you, Teach.
Air high five.
It sucks that you only.
Great point. Great point, Teach.
Sucks you only get to wave when you say hi or bye to someone. You should be able to mid conversation be like,
I wave all the time. What are you talking about?
I'm fucking stoked all over again to be talking to you, man. Here's a big one for you, dude.
I'm not very good at waving, too. So I do it all the time to try to practice.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I wave, it makes it seem like my wrist is disconnected from my hand. And it's just kind of.
It needs to be more of a lever action.
I can't. I'm trying to do kind of more of a Princess Di, parade wave.
It would be, it would be nice if we use the wave as a symbol to like start the conversation over. Like I've accidentally lied a couple times and I don't want to have this anymore. And you're going to talk to me about something I don't care about.
Yeah.
And I just want to start over, please.
Yeah, watch that hand, man.
You would have to limit the amount of times you could do that, right? Like, yeah. You could do that like once a conversation.
Do you guys think John Cena, the first time he did the you can't see me thing, he was just waving at himself? Because he was
smelled something?
He wanted to. That's possible too.
Stinky. Or he wanted to just smell something. He was trying to Wah.
That was it. It was Cena v. Rock, and The Rock was like, do you smell what The Rock is cooking? And John Cena was like, I don't know, man.
I'm trying.
Wait, that looks cool. That looks really cool.
That's another thing you could do. You could do the John Cena wave. You start to wave your hand, and then you just wave it in front of your
That's
face.
That's cool. Yeah, you raise one hand, you raise the other hand, bring it down and crotch chop.
Oh, yeah.
Really brutalizing our microphones during this question.
I've been seeing interviews of John Cena lately pop up on TikTok, and he's talking about a lot of like debonair stuff, like his preferences of coffee or
I watched that as well, Justin. Very debonair. Compliment.
Like, it's very debonair. And it gave me a strange emotion I don't think I've ever had before, which is the feeling that I am glad John Cena is as big as he is so he is not bullied. Because I think if John Cena was not John Cena size, yeah, he would get bullied a lot. Like, I felt weirdly defensive for a John Cena that didn't exist, didn't have his huge muscles. You know what I mean? But I'm glad John Cena's as big as he needs to be. And yes. I don't think I understood this because I was not a wrestling person.
Yeah.
But he is, I will say, it seems like widely bullied. Even in that world, for a strong man, it seems like even people who like wrestling bullied John Cena more than they would feel comfortable bullying a man of his size.
Well, yeah, he left wrestling to go to Hollywood, Justin, where being debonair is appreciated. Now he comes back and he's like, y'all bullied me when I was just a big, strong wrestler, but look at me now.
I'd like to get a gut check from Griffin on this angle of John Cena being highly bullyable, because I feel that in my bones. I want to know if it's a right feeling.
I need 10 seconds.
Can I also just say, Justin, he wasn't always that big. Like, as much as I want to picture a 10-year-old John Cena who's absolutely jacked, and it's just the same but scaled down to 10, there must have been a time where he did get bullied and he thought, I'm going to become an absolutely jacked mountain of a man.
Yes, but what I'm saying is, like, I think his hugeness is directly proportionate to how big of a dork he was. Like, a lot of people would have that realization and they'd do, like, 20 push-ups and be like, okay, I'm all right. I feel good. Yeah. John Cena's like, I think I need to get just really huge.
He got
to be able to
like
carry
me,
off.
Like, that's what I did.
Yeah. Oh,
you know.
Yeah, Travis. Yeah, the Travis McElroy system, he called it.
Yeah, I got real big.
In 2000,
I was a weirdo.
In 2002, John Cena debuted the alias that he had at the time, which was a freestyle rapping wrestler named the Doctor of Thugonomics.
I'm going to hyperventilate.
Okay, so
this is real?
Canon.
100% fully, super. I know, guys, I get it that sounds like some shit I would say that would be made up on this show where we say made up shit all the time, like Man versus Baby, but that's very real. I have to imagine.
No, wait, Man versus Baby is real too. I want to be clear. Damn it. Okay. Go ahead. Thank you.
I have to imagine.
Did you guys make
that where he is?
Because I didn't even Google it.
It's very real. I have to imagine where John Cena is now. The frame he occupies now was largely, he was pressed firmly into that mold.
Like the Play-Doh dentist.
Like a Play-Doh dentist.
Yeah.
Because of a slingshot effect that he took around Doctor of Thugonomics to come back. He went, whoa. And everyone's like, this sucks. And he was like, rip. And he launched back forward into the huge guy mold. And now he's like, he is where he is now. And that's like who does that? Who can make that fucking transition? Nobody.
Now, my question is, did the Doctor of Thugonomics have a PhD or a medical degree?
Yes.
Because even in there, what it implies is that the character went, yes, I could just be a layman of Thugonomics, but I will attend more schooling.
Yeah. Debuting the Doctor of Thugonomics character in 2002, Cena began performing freestyle raps and promos and wore jerseys and hats as part of his gimmick, along with the slogan, Word Life. So they had to crush him at the bottom of the fucking pit. Right. Batman broke his back so he could climb back up. Now he's the fucking fear. You know what I mean?
I love that.
I love that for him.
God. Good for you, John. Cool journey. Would love to get you on my brother and me, or McElroy Family Clubhouse. Standing offer, John.
Or just a cool hang if you're cool afraid of the attention.
And I'm not going to bully you.
If you're afraid of all the attention you would get from guesting on our show, I understand that can be off-putting. We can just chill out and play Fortnite together.
That's fine.
You can play as yourself.
I can be John, in Fortnite.
He probably doesn't play as John Cena, right?
No, but I bet it would make him more comfortable if you did.
He do pickle Rick.
John Cena loves that. John Cena's still talking about Pickle Rick, guys.
John, hi. The invite was real. Griffin doesn't mean this.
No, please. Sorry, please.
I do ignore that part.
John, sorry.
I do fully mean it. He's on his farewell tour season still in WWE, and every once in a while, he'll be like, I'm about to take you down like Pickle Rick. And they're like, dude, you can't fucking...
So you're saying, Griffin, there's two things John Cena loves that we know about. The perfect flat white, which he discusses at length in the video Justin and I watched, and Pickle Rick.
Yeah, dude.
So when John Cena goes into a coffee shop, he orders a flat white to see if they know what they're doing, and then asks the barista, also, what are your feelings on Pickle Rick?
Yeah, and you know it's great? It's like he hasn't seen it. He said in an interview he's not allowed to watch Rick and Morty. But
it's on Adult Swim.
He said, but I see a lot of like really funny stuff about this
I'm
guy.
Busy studying Thuganomics. Is what my parents told me.
I haven't watched it, but I asked AI to generate a version of it for me based on what I knew about it.
The t-shirt at Hot Topic, and
I was so focused on
the iconography.
Yeah. He is a subscriber to the American Journal of Thuganomics because you can't just like learn that shit in 2002 and then
he goes to the conferences constantly.
Changing.
He reads the articles. Hey, thank you so much for listening to My Brother and Me, and a true podcast full of absolutely true stuff
for grownups.
Yeah,
for dogs. Example,
this is true. On December 6th, we're going to be doing a candlelight show right here in Huntington, West Virginia at 7 p.m. That includes a virtual stream ticket. If you want that digital premiere of a recording of the show with bonus behind-the-scenes footage, that premiere is going to be December 19th at 9 p.m. Eastern. And you can watch that through January 4th. We'll be in the chat on that. We'll hang out with you watching that. All benefits from this show are going to be donated to Harmony House, which seeks to end homelessness in the Huntington area through permanent housing and supportive service programs. I don't need to tell you how important that is right now, and we would really appreciate any support you can provide. Tickets for both those events are available at bit.ly/CandleNights2025.
Also, if this goes out at noon on Monday, which it normally does, that means that Champions Grove 2026 tickets are on sale right now. So Champions Grove, real quick, the whole pitch is there's a castle in Hocking Hills, Ohio called Ravenwood Castle. It is a castle, hotel, event space, and on Memorial Day weekend, we have rented it out, me and the Champions Grove folks, and I'm bringing in some game hosts and people who do amazing projects in the TTRPG space to run games. You guys come in. We run the games for you. You play games with each other. We have events. We have fancy dinners. We have all kinds of stuff that you can.
You're going to meet a bunch of cool people. I went to the first one. It was a delight.
Thank you, Justin. And that's Memorial Day weekend. And we have accommodation packages for 2 to 4 people. You rent out the accommodation, and that also is going to give you, when you get the accommodation package, you get access to the event, and then you're going to reserve the hotel room through Ravenwood Castle. You can find out all the information, championsgrove.com. It's there. That's also where you can get the packages. But like I said, it's on sale now, and the spots are limited, so don't wait. championsgrove.com.
Two more quick things. I did write a Choose Your Own Adventure book. Comes out March 10th next year. It's called The Stowaway. You can pre-order that at bit.ly/GriffinStowaway. And we also have revealed the cover for the final Adventure Zone graphic novel adaptation written by us and our dad, illustrated by Carrie Peach, the Adventure Zone story and song. That one comes out on July 14th.
There it is.
July 14th, and you can pre-order that at theadventurezonecomic.com. It's a lot of stuff happening next year. Oh, and thanks to Montaigne for the use for our theme song, My Life is Better With You. It's a great one. Great track.
We got a fear, Trav, that we want to be faster than this year.
We sure do, Justin. Would you like to read it?
This year, I'm going to go faster than my fear of a large flock of birds coming down and taking me away into the sky forever.
Fair enough. Clean. Yeah, simple. Simple and clean.
My name
clean.
Is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, me. Kiss your dad. Square on the lips.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.